Thankful for all that God has done and all that God intends to do in the future. I was struck this evening as I came in. Oh, I'm getting eyes from the back. If you're a 4- and 5-year-old in here, bye. See you later. You can take off to your class. Your teachers are anxiously awaiting you. You're welcome. You won't have to keep them for as long tonight, all right? I would say I'll shorten my message for you, but we don't want to make deals we can't keep. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, I was struck as I came in tonight. It's amazing the reactions you get when people find out the youth pastor is preaching beforehand. I got a couple were praying for you, brother, and they were authentic, and they meant it. I could tell it in their eyes. We had a few that said it laughingly. I'm praying for you. One said, don't mess it up. I don't know what that means. And another one said, keep it short. All right. So I got the wide variety of reactions tonight as I was making my way to the platform. So thank you all for your encouragement. I appreciate it greatly. But let's look at God's Word tonight. And as I was studying and preparing, pastor's given me the opportunity to preach the next two Sunday nights. And I was asking God for direction and, what do you want me to preach in these certain instances? God just kept driving me to this passage of Scripture. And I am fully aware tonight that as I read these verses, for many of you, probably most of you, they're not going to be new, and many of them are going to be well-versed in your mind. But such rich truth here that God has for us in His Word. And I draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, where the Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I'd like for just the few moments we have together this evening to look at the passage of Scripture here, and I've entitled the message tonight, and I believe this applicable for all age groups, is the foundations for living wisely. The foundations for living wisely. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we study His Word together tonight. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity and privilege that we have to be here. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, and we thank You for the amazing reality tonight that every time we open the Word of God, no matter what portion of Scripture we open up to, if we are open and receptive to You and Your will for our lives, Lord, You can divide, even in our lives, exactly what we stand in need of. And Lord, I pray that You would just remove me out of the way at this point and You would speak through the pages of Scripture. I pray that You would allow the Holy Spirit free reign in our midst to work up and down the aisles, and Lord, to deal with us exactly as You would have tonight. Lord, that we may leave encouraged, strengthened, challenged by the Word of God, enabled and ready to serve You this week with our lives. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise and all the glory tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The writer here in the book of Proverbs, as he does in many of the Proverbs, targets the younger crowd. He starts off with saying, my son. And I don't know if you have done this in your life or if you have chosen to take this path in your devotional time, but oftentimes I've taken a proverb a day. I challenge our young people at some point of the year, if they're not actively involved in some other area, that they take at least 1 month and they read through a proverb a day. And I can't tell you over the years how many times I've done that, and every time I do it, it seems like I turn to the proverb for that day and God gives me just exactly what I need. And as I was reading through this in recent days, again, it struck me, this particular chapter is referencing younger individuals, but it is so applicable to all ages, the truth that God is giving here. And so immediately I started thinking, and as we're walking through this passage, there's so many things that come to mind. And I thought, God, this is really the foundation of everything You want for us in our life. And then it struck me how often I think about building terms. And I think every time I preach that I reference at least one building term along the way. It's Steve Spatz's fault sitting in the back, and I think that way, okay? A lifetime of being a carpenter's son, it's just what it gets you. And as I was thinking about foundations of things, you know, foundations are there, and they're built, and they're important. They're what everything starts on for the whole building, but then we really don't ever think about them again. They're buried. We don't think about that type of thing. And they're just there. They're just in existence. And there's so many things in our lives that are that way. We learn them at some point, but along the line, we forget them. We let them go by the wayside. And as I was thinking about those thoughts, I even began to think about our physical life. We learn to walk at an early age, and we could go around the room tonight and talk about your kids, and we could all have a contest to see whose kids started walking first. Mine would not win, okay? But I remember in the early days when they began to walk, and you're encouraging them along that, and you don't expect to have those same conversations as they're 15, 16, 17 years old. Hey, this is how you walk. This is how you run. You can do it. We believe in you. You don't expect to remind them of those things. But undoubtedly, there's things that happen along the way in our lives that bring us to the point where we can't even do the basics of walking. A dear friend of ours recently had a health difficulty. And through that difficulty, she forgot how to do everything. She forgot how to walk. She forgot how to the motor skills to eat. And as you walk through that process with individuals, they are literally retaught how to do everything that they've known how to do for their entire lives. And it struck me as I was thinking through these things, God, so often these very basic truths that we learned in Sunday school as children, we drift from in our adult lives. We drift from as we move throughout our lives. And Proverbs chapter 3 is so rich in the foundations of what God calls is true wisdom, the foundations of the elements needed for us to live wise lives before Almighty God. And God gives a warning and encouragement in these following verses of how to follow Him and the importance of doing so. I'm going to point out just a few things here this evening. If you have opportunity there to take notes, I'll give you just a few items here this evening. Number one, we see first of all as we walk through the text that God commands and God commends the individuals reading this passage to honor God's Word. Look at it in verse number one. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." God says here, keep my words and my commandments. As you read through this passage, it's impossible not to note the correlation that God is giving as He is instructing even the children of Israel. This speaks back into Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God says in chapter 8 of verse 1 of the book of Deuteronomy, "All the commandments," speaking to the children of Israel, "which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." God is encouraging the children of Israel. This is what you are to do. You are to follow and to heed my commandments and my law, and this is going to be that thing that takes you in to the promised land which I have promised unto you. This is the blessing that God has awaiting for the children of Israel. In recent days, I ran across an individual who believes that the Old Testament is completely unimportant and is completely not applicable to us living today, that only the New Testament is that which is given today. I had a hard time restraining myself as I found that out. I wanted to scream out and say, then why do both of the sections of Scripture point to each other so often? And it really negates the book of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, where the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we learn through studying the children of Israel's lives how important and applicable the truths that God was trying to get across to them, how applicable they are to us today and give us such success and can give us such victory in the Christian life. And God says here to the younger crowd, but applicable to all of us, "My son, forget not my law." You know, I think that God reminds us of things that we need so often. He brings these things in a circular motion in our lives. And folks, tonight, how easy is it to get away from this book in our lives? Even as I was sitting and I was given the opportunity in recent days to go through with some of our young people that are going through a Bible class in our high school, in our academy here, they have a project where they have to take a passage that is often misinterpreted and misused by different individuals, and they have to come and they have to talk to a ministerial member, and we have to help them make sure that they are interpreting that passage correctly. This is a high school level class, okay? They came in, and the first verse they gave me, I don't even remember what the first one was, but I thought, uh-oh, hold on a second. I think I know what this means, but let's look at it together. As I started to go through it, I thought, this is such a reminder of how important it is for us to hold the Word of God so dearly as we go through. And the temptation is oftentimes to just pull from the recesses of our mind and say, oh yes, I remember that. I remember how to do that. And we can start applying that to our Christian lives and say, well, I've read that book before. I've read that story before. But God gives such an emphasis here to it of honoring God's Word, the words and commandments of Almighty God. But notice what he says in the second part of the verse. He says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So often, don't we take the Word of God and we open it out of a sense of duty? This is what I'm supposed to do today. This is part of the process today in my Christian life. And he begs and he pleads with this crowd that he's writing to here, to you and to I, and says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He says, let this be out of love, not out of duty. Folks, as we are given opportunity to live for Christ day in and day out, God says, honor my word, but don't do it out of duty. Do it out of love for me. And he goes on to say in verse number 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. What I'm about to say, I cannot prove to you. I cannot point to anything specifically, scientifically, because I'm not that smart. But I had to pause and wonder, as I read the pages of Scripture in verse number 2, could this be the reason why life seems to be getting so much shorter and shorter and shorter for so many individuals? God says, honor my word. Look at it. Look at the pages of Scripture. But let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Have you ever known a day and time when there's so much unrest in our world, where there's so much distrust for each other, where there's so much confusion and chaos that seems to be all around us? And folks, oftentimes that confusion that is circling around on the outside can penetrate the church, it can penetrate the Christian, it can penetrate the believer, and it can drive us to do the same thing that the world is doing. Well, everything's crazy right now. Inflation is out of control. Prices have skyrocketed. Things are not looking good in all of these areas. And God says, honor my word. For longevity of life, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Honor God's word. But secondly, look at what he says in verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. If we look at the original text, the word mercy there means kindness. The word truth there stands for stability. And secondly, tonight, not only honor God's word, but hold to mercy and truth. Notice what he says there about them. He says, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. He says, wear them like a badge of honor. Keep them close at hand. Turn over just three chapters, but one page in my Bible, maybe more in yours. But look at Proverbs chapter 6. At the correlating verses that go along with this as well. Look at verse number 20 of Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is the lamp and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. He says, bind them about thy neck, keep them close at hand. And then also he says, let them imprint the very deepest regions of your heart. Look at it again back in our text verse, chapter 3, verse number 3. Write them upon the table of thine heart. says, let them imprint the very fiber of who you are, the mercy, the kindness of Almighty God, the truth of Almighty God, which is the stability of Almighty God. He says, let those imprint on your heart. Folks, isn't it amazing? Sometimes so much that we know, we don't apply. So much of we know, we don't result to go back to in times when we need them. Have you ever been convicted in your life as you react to a situation and you thought, I should have thought about that this way? You ever been there? I've been there several times. And God encourages us as believers here, make this idea and this ideology second nature in your life by writing them deep within the recesses of your heart. What's the very fabric that makes up who you are as an individual? Is it a binding reality of you connected with God, and everything about your relationship with God is then flowing out in your actions and in what you do in your life? Is everything about it that mercy, the kindness of Almighty God, and the truth of who God is that what drives you in your life? Is that what motivates you and spurs you on in your life? God says here, hold to mercy and truth. Number three, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, make it a habit to trust in God. Make it a habit to trust in God. Look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Make it a habit to trust God. Notice, and you may not underline in your Bible, I took pen in hand and underlined certain words in my Bible. And in this verse, in verse number 5, I underlined all those things that were actioned by me. I looked through it and I said, trust. And where's the source? In the Lord. He says, how to trust with all thine heart and to lean not unto thy own understanding. Is that not the hardest verse in the Bible to accomplish as a human being? Trust with all thine heart. I have opportunity often to go out into our parking lot here, and I get on our bus, and we have on it this sheet of paper that I despise. And when I took my CDL driving test, it was the hardest part of the entire test. It's called the pre-trip. Those of you that drive a bus or been around it, you know about that. And you got to go around and you got to check all these things. Okay, understand something, okay? If you're trusting that Pastor Kyle is a phenomenal bus mechanic and I can identify if anything is wrong with that bus, your trust is misplaced, okay? But I go out and I look. I can tell if something's leaking, okay? I can tell that. But they take you through this thing, and this guy, this instructor that's teaching you how to do everything, I don't know what Brother Jay's process was like when he got his CDL, but as you're going through this, they just start pointing at things. And they say, okay, you got to be able, and they literally tell you this, you got to be able to point at this to the tester and tell him what it is. Okay. Do I have to tell him what it does? No, you don't have to tell him that. Okay, I can tell him what that is. And you memorize it, basically. You go through and you say, okay, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this. Could I take you out there to that bus and do that again? Nope. I could not. But I can walk through and say, is there anything leaking? Is there oil under the bus? Are the tires flat? You know, I can tell those basic things. But you know what? I don't trust my understanding. I trust people way smarter than me. We take our bus and get it serviced regularly, and highly certified people look over it. But you know what? Every time I get in that bus, you know what my expectation is? I take the key. It's a pretty key. It's chrome, shiny. I can't lose it. I put it in the bus, I turn the key, it does its little whoop, 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 whoop thing, and then I start it. I never get in that bus and think, well, if I did everything correctly in my pre-trip, and I noticed everything, and I checked every box, and I signed it at the bottom, because of that, this bus is going to start. That would be foolish. But every time, my expectation is when I stick the key in and I turn the key, it starts to life. You ever had that morning? You're already running late. The coffee was cold by the time you got it. You were trying to get the kids out the door, and you got in the car, and you hit the key, and nothing happened. Anybody ever been there? That's the worst feeling, isn't it? Your trust has been betrayed by your car. You know, we have so many things that are like that in our lives where we just expect them to do what they're supposed to do. You know what? God says, that's what I want your relationship with me to be like. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Aren't we really bad at that second part? We want to say, but I know how to do this. Lord, you've taken me through that experience before. I know how to navigate this part of my life. Back to the analogy of learning to walk as a child, you say, I've learned how to walk. I can even run. Watch me. We say, I can handle this part. And God says, you don't know what's right around the corner that you've never seen before. And God says, don't lean on your own understanding. I think we all got brought to reality of this together as a society, as a culture, when 2020 happened. And we thought, man, I know how to do ministry. I know how to serve people. I know how to navigate these things in life. And then all of a sudden, whoops, life ground to a halt the worldwide over. And suddenly a lot of people thought, uh-oh, I don't know how to navigate this. I thank God for times like that. I don't thank God for any of the fallout or the people that were lost their lives or were sick. But I thank God when He takes us through moments where He says, you don't know everything. And I think it ties into verse 7 beautifully. Would you look at it? He says, not only lean not on your own understandings, but He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Look at the first part. He says, He gives us the encouragement not only to make it a habit to trust God, but to humble yourself continually. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Would you turn over to Proverbs chapter number 26? Proverbs chapter number 26. We'll look at just one verse here together that correlates beautifully with what we're talking about here in Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 12 of Proverbs chapter number 26. He says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Look at the strong language of the Word of God here. There is more hope of a fool than of him. Look at it again. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. You ever looked at someone and you thought, man, they're just a fool. Why would they do that? God says that individual that thinks themselves wise in their own eyes is worse than that. So often, folks, and this is the human nature that is still warring within us, as God tells us that our flesh lusteth against our spirit and our spirit against our flesh, that flesh that is still warring within ourselves, that is fighting the Spirit of Almighty God, constantly wants its own way, constantly wants to rear its ugly head in pride. And God says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, as I've thought through this, I've constantly struggled in this in my own life and said, God, why do you have to teach me these lessons over and over and over and over and over again? Can I tell you something? I tell our teenagers this all the time. Embrace the struggle. You say, what do you mean? The flesh against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. Embrace the struggle. Because if there's no struggle going on, the devil's already won. Right now, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't know about the struggle that's going on in between, where I don't have a problem with being wise in my own eyes. I don't know what you're talking about. There might be a reason for that. And God says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. I used to have a common phrase. My dad would remember this well. When I was a kid, in so many instances, I would do something foolish. They would come to me and they would ask me why I did it. And I would say, well, I thought I knew how. So one instance of that, I don't know. Mom could tell me more, but I was probably 3, 4, maybe younger than that. And we went over to a friend's house and they had a huge in-ground pool out behind their house. I mean, it was beautiful. Diving board, whole works. I'm 3 or 4 years old. can't swim a lick. I mean, I hadn't been to the YMCA yet for them to teach me how. Okay, I was too young. And so we come through, and you know how moms are when they go to the pool or to the beach or anywhere like that? I mean, to the shore. You know how they are. They come dragging like 47,000 things that you're never going to use, but you might need it, so they bring it with them. Anybody relate to that? I think all moms are the same in that. But they bring it all, they got the sunscreen, and it's probably pretty good because dads don't think past the end of their nose, and they're like, we won't need that, and we need all of it. But they come, and I'm sure my mom, I don't remember, I was 3 or 4, but I'm sure she was dragging all those things in, trying to get us all into the pool. We went through that. There was a gate surrounding their pool, and I took off like a dart as soon as the gate opened, and I ran straight for that pool, and I jumped in. That is not the way to learn how to swim, okay? All I remember, and I remember not many things from that age, but I remember this. I remember just struggling under the water. And I was just fighting, and I just remember my mom reached down. She grabbed my arm. She pulled me up onto the side. She didn't even wait to see if I was okay. She just said, what were you thinking? And in my little 3-year-old, sweet, angelic voice, that resembles my son very well. Yes, and I am paying for all of my sins of my youth in my son. Thank you, okay? Everybody's so delighted by that. I don't know why. But as I looked at her, I said, Mom, I thought I knew how. I had watched my sister swim. I had watched her friend swim. It didn't seem that hard. So I just took off and I did it. And it didn't work out very well. You know what? That's a humorous story of things that kids would do and things that we think in our brain. But so often we think, okay, I know how to do this by now. I can handle this one. Much as what Pastor mentioned in his message this morning, say the little things, God, I can take care of those. The big things, I'll ask you for help. God here gives us the admonition once again, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Humble yourself there continually. And number 5, have a healthy fear of God. Look at the end of verse 7 of chapter 3. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. But then the last part of the verse, he says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, I've often preached, and it is true, this phrase of fear the Lord in the Old Testament is a statement that means reverential trust with a healthy distaste or hatred towards that which is evil. And it is true. But folks, I am seeing more and more, and I believe this to be true from the Word of God, that we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. We need to understand that just as in a sense of law or a sense of maybe in the parent-child structure, that there are certain expectations, and if those expectations are not upheld or are met, there is a punishment that must be paid for that. If that is not true, then there would be no need to preach against or to preach for salvation in an attempt to keep folks out of hell, to keep folks from an eternal damnation, but there is consequences for actions. And I have never seen in a society less fear of Almighty God. Much of that has been programmed and it has been subtly moved into our culture over time and through many different facets, education, entertainment, all types of manner to take fear of God away and take even the existence of God away. And there's no fear of the Lord. As a child of God, I do not sit and wait in anticipation and trembling that God is going to strike me down unmercifully if I do something wrong. But folks, if we have not reached the juncture in our Christian life where we realize when we do wrong, there is punishment for it. It will affect us. It will affect our families. It will affect those around us. It will affect our church. All of those things must be considered as we navigate through our lives. And God says here, have a fear of the Lord. He says, it will keep you from sin. Let's turn over very quickly. As my time escapes me, I'll move quickly. Proverbs chapter 16. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Again, a wonderful reinforcement of our passage that we're reading here this evening. Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. God says that those that have a healthy fear of Him, it will keep you from sin. It will keep sin from you. Those two go hand in hand. It will keep you from sin, but it'll also keep sin from you. Not that we will never be tempted to do evil. Not that we will never have opportunity to sin against God. But God says a fear of the Lord will make us and sin depart from evil. God's desire for us as individuals is that we would have a healthy understanding of who God is, and that He has certain expectations for our lives, and that we would live in such a manner that we would please Him. And He gives us here in this, as a continuing thought in Proverbs 3, in verse 9, or excuse me, in verse 8, that it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. He says here, it will enrich your physical life. Have you ever just been at that point of conviction where God is just wrenching on your spirit and saying, that's not right. You shouldn't have a part of that. You shouldn't be involved in that. I was having a conversation with a dad this morning, and he was rehearsing some things in his life, and we're talking about things in his son's life. And we both just were feeding off of one another our experience in our Christian life, that as you enter into settings where you shouldn't belong, where you should not be, that there is a healthy respect, a healthy admiration, and even a healthy fear of Almighty God that says, I'm not supposed to be here. I am not supposed to be involved in this. You know, an individual that walks in this manner, that lives in this manner in their life, it gives great peace to them even physically. It gives great peace to them that are walking in the path that God would desire for them to walk. You know, it's interesting as you walk through and as you see different things, both in our society and maybe even that gets closer to you, you see the physical strain that emotional and spiritual problems have on people. I'm sure Brother Reuben and many that serve in law enforcement could attest to those that involve themselves in a wicked type lifestyle. You can physically see the effects that it has on them spiritually, not only spiritually, but physically. You can physically see it, the impact it's having upon their lives. And folks, as a believer, I cannot live in such a way that would bring dishonor to Almighty God, that would fly in the face of what Almighty God would be okay with, and it not have an impact upon me physically. God's desire is that we would live in such a manner that would be pleasing in His sight. When we live with this healthy fear of the Lord, it enriches our life as it keeps us from sin. Notice, sixthly, honor the Lord with your substance. I move quickly here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice the word, all your increase. So often this verse is read by individuals and said, well, that just means I got to give my tithe. Okay, I did that today. The wording of Scripture, all your increase. I am challenged by this daily. God, you've given me 24 hours to live. What do you want me to do with them? You give me 24 hours to live, Lord. What do you want me to do today? I would like to say that's what I say every day. But so often, we live our lives and we get to the end of it and we think, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. Let me give you 5 minutes before I go to sleep. And look, I'm not trying to belittle. I'm not trying to talk down. But folks, so often, we are narrow-minded in what God desires for our increase. And God says, I want you to give me the first fruits of everything you've got. Give me everything that you've got. And God's desire is that we be people that are of a giving spirit, but not only financially, but that we be giving in all aspects of our life. That we say, God, whatever you desire, I'd be willing to give it. Last thing tonight, as we hasten on. Number 7, don't view correction as a hindrance. Look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Don't view correction as a hindrance. As God corrects us, it correlates with love. God's desire is that as we would live our lives, as we would read passages such as this, that the chastening of Almighty God would not be a wearying endeavor for us in our lives, but show us the immense amount of love that God has for us. I've had on a couple of occasions opportunity to sit with young people that have had much trouble in their lives and have had much poor training, we'll call it, from their home lives. Several young men that I was able to counsel with when I was a youth pastor in the state of Georgia came from very difficult home lives. Individuals that it ran the gamut. I counseled one young man, and his father had ruined his life both physically, financially, in every facet you could imagine. He had ruined his child's life before he was the age of 10. He'd taken out all types of things in his son's name using his son's social security number. He is just now, he's almost 25, 26 years old, he's just now gotten through all of that. Lived a lifetime of it. Several other individuals that had all types of drug-related issues in their homes. But as I worked with these young people, I noticed a pattern. Between the ones that longed for help or wanted nothing to do with my help, they all wanted the same thing. They wanted somebody along the line to correct them. Because they wanted to know that somebody loved them. And they had never known anybody that loved them. And I'd have young men that would come, and I would always ask the question, trying to be a good youth pastor, your parents know where you are? And they're saying, my parents don't care where I am. They'll let me do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want, be with whoever I want. If I don't come home, they're just all the more happy about it because they don't have to take care of me that night. And as I looked into those young people's eyes, I thanked God, not only for the opportunity to love on them, but that my Father loves me so much that He's willing to correct me when I'm wrong. And young people, let me just do a sidebar here real quickly. If you have parents at home that correct you, you better thank God for them. Because you want to know what one of the hardest things is to do to your kids? Is to correct them in a way that you know is going to bring discomfort to them. Maybe it's even just something they want to do and you say no. We all have an innate desire to have our kids be happy and to have our kids like us. But you know what? Parents, can I encourage you tonight? Maybe you're struggling with this. Your children want you to correct them. They may not know you want that. They may resist that correction, but your kids just want to know you care about them. And our Father says to us as believers, despise not the chastening of Almighty God. Despise not the correction of Almighty God. We should long for it. We should desire it. For so often, as individuals, we live our lives very resistant to the very thing that can get us to the point God wants us to be as believers. And we are innate and programmed, again, as sinful human beings, to despise correction. To not having someone tell us what is wrong with us, what we should do differently. And that transcends over to our relationship with Almighty God, where God says, I desire for you to have the best life possible, but that can only happen when you allow the correction of God to take place. I close with this. The Bible says, to us that are living our lives and for all mankind that will pass upon the face of the earth, He gives a warning here as to the way that we are to walk, but He gives a different perspective in the book, and also in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, where the Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, God gives us very plainly, as I've walked through it, I've tried to do my best tonight to just walk through this passage and say, this is what God says for our lives. This is God's desire for the way we are to live our lives. But you know what? It goes exactly against what our flesh desires. And God says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end is the ways of death. Folks, tonight, whatever the age group you find yourself in tonight, have you revisited the foundation? Have you inspected it lately? Many individuals make lots of money just inspecting what has been built before them. But in a spiritual sense, have you revisited the foundation of your life? Who are you trusting in tonight? Who are you leaning on? What's your desire in your life? And God says, this is the guidebook. This is the platform and the foundation for living wisely. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity again to revisit the pages of Scripture and the truth with which is contained in them. Lord, we ask that You would just work in this time, that we would be capable of being honest with ourselves and honest with You on which path in our lives we're following. So often it's easy to get off course, get off track. Lord, would You help us to walk down through these things as far as Your Word and our trust and our dependency day in and day out, our outlook upon ourselves, our outlook on others. Lord, would You help us to be challenged by the words of Scripture and by the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand with me all over the auditorium? I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to come and play a verse of invitation tonight. And as she does so, as God deals with your heart, would you just be open and transparent with God? The altar is available if you'd like to use it. You could use your pew as an altar. But the most important thing is, if God is speaking to you, allow His truth to penetrate and be applied in whatever area He points out. As the verse of invitation is played, would you do business with God?